This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. God, help us to seek you as our treasure. For as you tell us, where our treasure is, there our heart will be. And our hearts are restless until they rest in thee. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
We're back. Save for one youth minister who was not condemned to work camps in Siberia, but has gone there to visit her sister. So, pray for Deborah's safe travel as she travels to the remote corners of Russia to be and stay with her family. This faith thing is not easy. The readings make that clear. Hebrews talks about the challenge of faith, the assurance of things hoped for but not seen. The fact that, as we see in Genesis and echoed in that letter to the Hebrews, that Abraham is called to go to a place that he has no idea where he's going, but only to go there because he is reassured by God that this is what he is called to do. How many times in our lives do we have that happen to us, where things happen in life and sickness and the loss of loved ones and difficulties, and yet there is something, whether it's even a pilgrimage journey, that we really don't know where God is leading us, but we know through faith that this is where we need to go, and it's hard. The gift is this other half of the readings today in this gospel. Jesus tells us this great line: it is God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Don't miss the significance of that line. It is God saying that line to every single one of us. Derek, it is God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Jojo, it is God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Maddie, it is God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Saren, it is God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sam, it is God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Luke, it is God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Put your own name in there. This is the gift. Now, the challenge is, how do we get from this difficult thing of faith to inheriting the kingdom? Well, I'd like to pose that perhaps Jesus' approach can give us a little insight into that, that has implications as to not only how we run our pilgrimage for our youth and adults, but how we run our Christian pilgrimage of life. And I think it has to do with the way Jesus looks at life, and looks especially at time. You know, the Greeks had two ways of looking at time. There was chronos time and kairos time. Chronos time is this kind of time: hurry up, we're going to be late. It is the deadlines. It is the emphasis on the here and the now and the catch your breath kind of stuff. It's the 6 o'clock news kind of time. But you'll notice that Jesus never lives in that kind of a time. Whenever they are questioning him and trying to get him to commit to some political or religious opinion about something, he always brings it to kairos time, to bring it to the big picture. Example: Jesus, is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar? Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, give to God what belongs to God. Taking it into the big picture. This is what our call is as Christians, It's what my call is as a preacher. It's what Mary and Wendy's call is as preachers to you. If you expect to come in here on a Sunday and hear us commenting on the latest thing that Tom Brokaw has talked about at the 6 o'clock news, you're going to be vastly disappointed, because that's what not we're about. We are not about the Chronos time. It is about seeing things in the big picture. And what happens in our life, how we can go from faith to inheriting the kingdom. That's why we're here. That's why we go on pilgrimage. Every single night when we gathered on this pilgrimage, we gather and we ask one simple question of each other. Where did you see God today? Now, I think even our teenagers would admit that when we started this, it was like, oh, Father Marty, here we go again. But by the time our time ended, we almost had to cut each other off, because there were so many ways in which we were experiencing God in nature, in each other, in the people we met, in the stories we heard, in the beauty of the cathedrals and the abbeys that we experienced, that God was everywhere. And that's why in our church we have such an affinity towards our Celtic heritage, because the Celts had a gift for seeing God everywhere in all things. You're going to go drink a beer, you have a prayer. I'd like to share a beer with the King of Kings. And I'm not talking Budweiser. They had prayers for laundry. You're going to do the laundry, you got a prayer for it, because God is present there. And that's what this pilgrimage journey was all about, to help us to see that the kingdom is there now for us. And that's what will sustain us in these difficult things of faith. And so you visit these monasteries and these different places where for ages monks and nuns have gathered to try to make sacred each and every hour. We saw the stairs where they'd come down in the middle of the night to pray, because they prayed, as they called it, the hours that they would dedicate each and every single part of their life to being present that God is there. This is what we try to achieve. And we introduce all sorts of different crazy ways sometimes, but spiritual disciplines to look at ways that maybe we can find God present, that maybe we can just see a glimpse to inherit the kingdom. The Celts have this great idea of thin places, that there are certain places on earth where God is just ready to break through if we just open ourselves to look. Thin places are everywhere. The crucial thing for us becomes, am I looking for those thin places in my life? And if I know where they are, am I going back to them on a regular basis, so that when I ask myself the question every night, where did you see God today? I got a litany every day, because I saw him in so many different places and faces. One of my favorite poets, T.S. Eliot, I quote him every time we finish a pilgrimage, that the whole idea of we will not cease from exploration, and the end of all our exploring will be to return home and discover the place for the first time. Hopefully, you will discover your lives in a way you never knew possible, because you know how active God can be in your life. The other part of this poem that T.S. Eliot writes, called The Little Getting, refers to this place of pilgrimage from the 17th century. Nicholas Farrar and his followers and opened up this religious community there that in its day was one of those pilgrimage spots that would have been incredibly popular for folks to go to, as a thin place. I want to read to you a couple of paragraphs from The Little Getting as T.S. Eliot talks about us perhaps going to this thin place. If you came this way, taking the route you would be likely to take from the place you would be likely to come from, if you came this way in May time, you would find the hedges white again in May with voluptuary sweetness. It would be the same at the end of the journey. If you came at night like a broken king, if you came by day not knowing what you came for, it would be the same. When you leave the rough road and turn behind the pigsty to the dull facade and the tombstone, and what you thought you came for is only a shell, a husk of meaning from which the purpose breaks only when it is fulfilled, if at all. Either you had no purpose, or the purpose is beyond the end you figured and is altered in fulfillment. There are other places which also are the world's end, some at the sea jaws or over a dark lake in a desert or a city. But this is the nearest in place and time now and in England. If you came this way, taking any route, starting from anywhere, at any time or at any season, it would always be the same. You would have to put off sense and notion. You are not here to verify, instruct yourself, or inform curiosity or carry report. You are here to kneel where prayer has been valid. You are here to kneel where prayer has been valid. Where is that prayer valid in your life? Where did you discover those thin places on this pilgrimage? I would venture to say that this is one of those places where prayer is valid. You wouldn't gather here every Sunday at 9:30 if it wasn't. This communion rail, prayer has been valid here for 60 years. This altar, prayer has been valid for 60 years. That Lady Chapel, miracles of prayer continue to be valid for 60 years. The thin places in your life where prayer is valid for you, that is where you will find God. That is where we are called to continue to look and find him in amazing, amazing ways. But it doesn't end there. We are not only called to find the thin places. God enables us to be the conduits for that presence of God to come real for others. And we experienced it on this pilgrimage. As groups that have gone before from St. Joseph's, we gather in the St. Margaret of Scotland Chapel at Edinburgh Castle, a place where you're not allowed to do any public prayer. Go figure, at church you're not allowed to pray. Well, you know me, we do it anyway. And we gathered with this group as we have with the other nine, and in the midst of that tourist mecca of people, we read the Collect of St. Margaret, and then we break into song, singing Sanctuary. And as with every other pilgrimage group, the noise and the confusion and the hubbub stop. And a moment is created that words cannot express, but it has become a thin place for many. We gather at the tomb of St. Cuthbert in Durham Cathedral with Lillian Grove, a tour guide who's 93 years old, just had a hip replacement, walking with a cane, and our kids could not keep up with her. But she came out of retirement. Why? Because she heard the name that St. Joseph's was coming back. There's an experience of God we create. We gather in that chapel and we pray the St. Cuthbert's prayer, and we remember, as tradition is, all those in our families and friends in need of healing. And in the midst of that cathedral and the noise, we break into singing Sanctuary, and you can hear a pin drop. and three people, I know not who they are, where they're from, come up to me afterwards and saying, that was the most moving thing I've ever experienced. We go to Dryburgh Abbey, and we go down into the chapter house, and there's this beautiful vaulted ceiling, and we decide this would be a cool place to sing, and we break into Seek Ye First, doing that little canon-type harmony. And there are workers who are up at the other end of the campus repairing some of the floor work, and they come running down, peeking in the chapter house, because they wanted to hear this beautiful singing that was going on down there. And a moment was created. How often in our lives is God enabling us to bring that experience of God into somebody's life? And it's not necessarily singing a song. It's a kind word to a cash register person at Publix who's just been treated miserably by the person ahead of us. It's seeing somebody who needs a shopping cart at BJ's and we make the effort to take it over to them, holding a door for somebody open. So many ways that we are enabled on this pilgrimage journey to create a thin place for somebody else. But I want to end with this. Pilgrims. Abraham was called to go by faith to a place that he did not know. Sound familiar? We were called to go to many places. They had no idea. But look at the blessings that came from it, just like they did for Abraham. This faith thing is not easy. Hopefully, what you have learned about experiencing God will be such that it can sustain you as you go forward into your college careers in a year or so. But the important thing above all is this. Remember how that gospel ends today. Those that have the lamps lit and are ready looking for God, God's going to show up. And what's going to happen when God shows up? Don't miss this. He's going to throw a party for us. I can't wait. Keep looking. He's there. Amen.